One of the great joys of serving God is seeing the Lord send out members from our church into the fields of harvest to serve God. This church is truly blessed by those tonight, this time, on the mission field, in the pulpits, in many places that we never dreamed, we never thought. And it's like New Testament times when people would come in to the churches, go back to the churches, and give a report. I somehow feel like I'm back in New Testament times where we have someone here tonight to come and tell us what God has been doing through their life, Matt and Casey Davis, in their life. And often, you know, we think we know what God wants us to do. I know this is my confession. And yet God sometimes surprises us with what He does and how wonderful those surprises are. So we're so thankful tonight that He's with us here tonight and to share with us what God has done and what God is about to do in their life. I want to say that Martha and I have prayed for Matt and Casey for a very long time. We daily have prayed for them. We prayed for Brother Tom and Bonnie through the years, those years that we've been gone. 34 years ago, we left this month, left the church, but we never really left the church because we have been prayed constantly for God to bless. And God has answered prayer. Brother Matt, if you'll come and this is Matt Davis, in case you don't know who he is. He's one of our boys. He grew up here, and God trained him here in this church. The experience that God gave you here is going to be taken to other places to be used for His glory. So we're not losing you, okay?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen. All right, it's good to see you tonight. I'll tell you, I have not been this nervous in a while. It feels like home, but then, like I said, I'm also kind of nervous. It's been a while since I've spoken here. And I just wanted to kind of tell you what's been going on. The Lord has been doing some neat things. Let me see if I can get this set up here to where y'all can see it. You know, we've been on the campus down at the University of Georgia, and we've seen God do some neat things this year, and I'll tell you some of those neat things. We've had some struggles as well. I think that's part and parcel of ministry. The family is doing well. We'll go ahead and talk about them. Y'all haven't seen this picture. Some of you might have on social media, but Lisa took this picture for us last year. It's just a phenomenal picture. We've got it everywhere. I've got it on all my social media. I love it. I love the arches in the background. All the kids look halfway pleasant, you know. So that was a minor miracle in and of itself. So we use that picture a lot. The kids are growing up. You saw them. I think some of them have grown half a foot since last year when we were here. Lee is finishing ninth grade. We hope he's finishing ninth grade. Witt's finishing eighth grade. And then Ellie Kate is in fifth grade, and Bonnie Sue is finishing second grade, and Jay is finishing first grade, and then Judah is just running around the house making messes basically right now. So I think I got all of those grades right. If not, I know all their birthdays. I get credit for that, right? All right, so let's go ahead and talk a little bit about what's been going on. And I guess if you were to talk about us and Crooked Creek Baptist Church, this is a scripture that comes to mind for us. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And Casey and I do pray for you frequently. We know that you pray for us. We feel it. There have been times where we've known that there were things coming up, outreaches that were coming up, or problems that were coming up, and we could let you know, and you would pray for us. And we have prayed for y'all as well. There's an important word here that I think is good for us to focus on. It's this word fellowship. It has the idea of participation, participating with someone. And so while we might be out on the field working, while we might be down in the trenches at the University of Georgia working, and y'all feel maybe that you're back here, you are participating with us by your prayers and by your support, and that has meant so much to us this year. It's meant so much to us to know that someone has our back, and that has been the case. Let me tell you a little bit about this year. It has been a great year, and it has been a challenging year. I'm going to go ahead and be up front with you. I don't believe in coming in and giving a rosy report, and I'm not going to make you down. I'm not going to be Eeyore or anything like that. But we've had some challenges this year. There were some times in the fall and in late fall where we did not know what to do. There were so many doors that we thought were open that God had seemingly closed on us. And the only thing we knew at that point was just to be faithful. Have you ever been there before? Where you don't know anything else to do but be faithful. And that's really where we were at a lot of times. I'll tell you, last year we had a strong group. We had about 20 to 23 students going into the fall. We had several who graduated. We knew that we were going to have to replace them. And then literally days before school started, something that had happened earlier in the previous school year kind of boiled over between some students. It was a guy-girl thing and some jealousy, and we lost a lot of people. And so here you are going into the beginning of the year. One of the people was in leadership. They were in leadership. We had other people who were helping with key parts. And then all of a sudden, you're looking at, wow, you know, where did everyone go? And then, so kind of rebuilding from the beginning. Well, as discouraging as that was, God gives you these bright spots in the middle of that. Bright spots that outweigh some of those other things, some of those challenges. Some of the other challenges we had, and we knew this would be the case, we had some financial challenges where we were on our face before God and we were crying out to Him. And then sometimes you have these things that you're praying about and you're seeking God for, and He doesn't seem to answer. You know, and you're saying, why are you not answering in this particular situation? And, you know, here it is, God. You have a promise right here. We are praying this promise. We believe that it applies in this situation. Why aren't you answering here? And then months down the road, you find out why He wasn't answering. Because if He had answered in that way, then what He wanted to do months down the road wouldn't be possible. I'll tell you more about that as we go along. We had some great things happen as well. I'm going to highlight some of the things that happened this year. And I want to tell you what some of our goals were. Our goals were to make new disciples, to increase students sharing their faith, and to develop student leadership. That's kind of what we were going into this year looking to do. As we go through this, let's see how God answered some of these prayers. I guess the first thing I ought to tell you about is this young man named Garrett. Do y'all remember Garrett? He came and played the bagpipes here once. Garrett, he's not here, so I can say this. I have never, ever in my life met a young man like this. When I met him, he did not know how to study the Bible. He had never studied the Bible for himself. He listened to Joel Osteen sermons all the time and read Joel Osteen devotions, and that was the depth of his knowledge. And last October, he got assurance of salvation, and he gave himself to studying the Word. And by the end of the school year, the 2015 school year, it was amazing what he knew. And at that point, though, he was still kind of going back and forth between, am I going to go all the way in with God, or am I going to kind of go my own way? Well, over the summer, he and some other students and I were working with each other, and he went all in with the Lord. He came back, and when he came back that last fall, he was raised in a different denomination. He had been sprinkled when he was a baby, and he resisted baptism for a while because he says, I've already been baptized. I was baptized when I was a baby. And then he realized that baptism is an identification of a believer with Jesus Christ, with the work of Christ. It is a picture of our position in Christ. And he said, I want to be baptized. And some of you saw a video of that, but that's in one of the fountains on campus, baptizing Garrett. So after that, this guy, the only way I know to describe him, maybe the way I ought to describe him is the way that Casey describes him. Casey describes him as a Paul, P-A-U-L, Paul, the Apostle Paul. The kid has no fear. Here's a picture of him. He's tabling out on campus there at the university. Here he is preaching his first sermon last November. It is amazing to see what God has been doing. But this guy wasn't raised knowing that he was supposed to be scared to tell people about Jesus. He had never been defeated over and over and over again telling people about Jesus. So he did things like this year. Around Easter time, he went to the professors. He had three large classes of 300 students each. He went to them and asked if he could give a presentation of the gospel on Good Friday to all those students. Two of the professors said no. One of the professors said yes. And so Garrett went. He got some Easter eggs. He was going to use them as an illustration. And he went in this class on Good Friday. There were about 200 students there. And at the end of class, he gave out all these eggs, and he gave a gospel presentation. Now, no one received Christ from that, but it made an impact. I don't know if any of you know Jeb Blazevich. He's a tight end for the University of Georgia. Jeb was in that class. And Jeb went up to the teacher and told the teacher how grateful he was that she had let him do that. Come to find out, last week they had the big sports academic award banquet at UGA, and Jeb won an award there. And a month and a half after this, at the UGA Academics Awards banquet, Jeb Blazevich stood up and thanked this teacher for having the courage to let that young man do that. And then he thanked Garrett for getting up and doing that. Garrett wasn't even there. But it had an impact on him. Then, not long after that, there was this street festival at the university. Not at the university, in downtown Athens. Thousands of people. And Garrett was asked to play the bagpipes. It was kind of an international music festival. Thousands of people. He said, "Matt, pray for me. I'm going to get up on the stage, and when I finish playing my bagpipes, I'm going to give the gospel." And nobody does that anymore. Don't you know you're supposed to be scared, boy? But we've seen him do that time and time and time again. Garrett has already signed up with a mission board. He's starting to go through training, and his plan is to go to Scotland as a missionary. It is young men like that. You have the discouragement at the beginning of the year, but then to get to the end of the year and see someone like Garrett, it almost makes you forget the other stuff, if you know what I mean. Garrett was a real bright spot. Reaching out. This is some of the things that we did this year. We wanted to be intentional about the students getting out and sharing their faith and then inviting people to things. So early in the fall, some of you saw this, we had something called Welcome the World, where we went to international students. We said, we want to cook you a home-cooked Southern meal so you can get a little bit of the Southern culture, and then we're going to talk with you about Jesus. And we had over, I think it was close to 50, between 40 and 50 international students come to that. Most of these students here are from Brazil. Garrett and the other students went out and found them. So Garrett came dressed in his kilt. Ugochi, who is a young woman we have who is from Kenya, she came wearing some garb from her heritage. Others were dressed up that way. And me, they got me to pull out my German side and wear this. I don't have any German. They talked me into wearing the hat. Then later on, around Christmas, we had another outreach. And it was just, we were going to sing some Christmas carols and introduce some of the international students to Christmas carols and, you know, feed them some food. So we did this. This young man right here is from Brazil, and this young woman right here are from Brazil. We had clear opportunities to give them the gospel over and over again. This is a picture from that. We had access to a great room that was free to do that, just a very beautiful setting there. Then towards the end of the year, we did something called Is Risen Reasonable? And it was a look at the resurrection and why the resurrection is reasonable to believe. It's not that we could ever have conclusive historical proof that Jesus is risen from the dead, but we aren't loony and off our rockers to believe it. There is enough historical evidence to say, okay, there is a basis for this. There is faith to it, yes. There is a basis for this. And we had a professor, someone who's from the American Society of Apologists, I believe. He came and he spoke on this. And we had, we had these students come in. This was a Thursday night a few weeks ago. We had over 30 students there for that. And the interesting thing about that was, normally in your college ministry things, you'll have a high ratio of girls, low ratio of boys. We had 22 boys and 11 girls, I think, at that. We had some skeptics there. They were pretty vocal. We had a Q&A. They weren't afraid to ask the questions. We went out to coffee with them later on and talked with them and want to continue that conversation with them. But let me tell you about this. This event was so neat to me because of this guy right here. Okay, this is Connor. Believe it or not, Connor is a freshman in college. He has this beard he wears most of the time, and he looks like he's about 45. He's got red hair. We call him Connor Ruo, which means Connor the Red. Connor, I met him last year when we were tabling. He was a freshman. He was walking through on the first few days of class, and I said, introduced myself, and I said, "You need to come to this Bible study." He said, "Okay, I'll be there." And he came. And as we began to talk to him, we found out that Connor was an atheist. But he kept coming. We couldn't figure out why he kept coming. So Garrett and I began to meet with him on a weekly basis. And this is what he told us. He said, "I saw in your group the love that you had for each other and the genuineness that was there. And," he said, "these are the Christians that I want to learn from about Christianity. If I'm going to learn about Christianity, these are the Christians that I want to learn from." So we started to sit down, and week after week, we got a book by Tim Keller called The Reason for God, a phenomenal book. Has some bones in it, but a phenomenal book. And we started working through it chapter by chapter and then going through the book of John as well. And I'm not going to be able to tell you that Connor has accepted Christ. He's moved from being an atheist to an agnostic. That's progress. He sees God as an impersonal force in the universe. But here's the thing about Connor. He has helped me. As an unbeliever, listen, too often I think we tune out unbelievers and someone who is like an atheist and we shut them out and we don't want to hear what they have to say. He has helped me. He has made me think on levels that I've never had to think before because we're actually able to sit down and talk this way. The way that he first approached us about sitting down to talk was, he says, "Why don't you come and give your gospel presentation to me and I will help you understand how it sounds from someone who is lost." Okay, yeah. I'll sit down and give the gospel to you. So I sat down and gave it to him. Garrett gave it to him. And then we started on this book. But here's the thing about Connor. He's listening. He listens to us. And God has given us respect in His eyes. And this is the thing that excited me. Out of those 33 students who were at that Is Reason Reasonable event that we had, do you know how many Connor the agnostic brought? He brought 8 students with him. He went to his dorm floor and said, "Hey, y'all doing anything tonight?" "No." 7:30, "You're coming with me. We're going to this event." And he brought 8 people with him. And they heard the gospel. I mean, that is just a head-scratcher to me. Here was another bright spot for us. Many of you prayed and prayed and prayed for this young lady, Isabella. She's from Brazil. Garrett met her. Just handed her a flyer on an elevator. Didn't say anything. "Here you go." The door was closing and it shut and she came to Bible study and we began to share the gospel with her. Some of the girls began to share the gospel with her. Week after week she would come. And then probably towards the end of last October we met at the coffee shop there on campus. This is one of the young girls in the group. We met with her and Isabella was born again. And not long after that she had to go back to Brazil and she was terrified of it. That was the end of October. She had to go back in December. She was terrified of it because she was from a heavily Catholic family. She was afraid of what her family was going to think. We talked with her about baptism before she left, and she just wasn't ready to make that step yet. And when she got back, it was one of those things. I was very concerned because she didn't get in church immediately. I'd found her a good church. She didn't get in church immediately. She would text the group, and she would say, "Y'all, I'm really discouraged, and I'm wondering and just starting to question things." But this is the importance of the local church. She started to get involved in that church and I began to see her in pictures doing children's ministry and being discipled and being faithful. And she loves that church. She's going through the membership class now to see if she can be a member. But this happened. This is exciting to me because this shows the worldwide impact of working on the campus. This happened last weekend. Somebody is from Brazil. She's talking about how scared she was to find a church, how scared she was initially to be baptized and tell people that she was a Christian. She said she cried for an hour afterwards.
Então, com a sua profissão de fé, nessa profissão de sua fé, que é uma profissão maravilhosa, né? Eu te batizo no nome de Em nome do Pai, do Filho e do Espírito Santo.
Está aqui.
Hold him under a light. They were on a retreat when that happened, a retreat with the church. There's a sister of yours, through the work that you supported, there is a sister of yours in Brazil now who is working hard to bring her family to Christ and to bring others to Christ. So we see some of the setbacks and we see some of the struggles we had, but then you see these bright spots and God started to bring some new students in. And we're not back exactly where we were, but we're probably back up to 15 or 16 when we get everyone together. He brought in some potential leaders for the next generation. This was our leadership team for the year. This is me. This is Heather. She's graduating. This is Ugochi. She's a young woman from Kenya. And then this is Garrett back here. Heather's graduating. We have another young man coming on the leadership team. And the thing that excited me so much about the leadership this year was they began to take responsibility themselves. My goal from the beginning was for me to not do all of the work, but for them to get the experience. I wanted to be a facilitator, a trainer. So they had the idea to start meeting every other week as leadership to plan and to pray and to work together. And all of those events that I told you about, the Welcome the World and the Christmas event and Is the Risen Reasonable, those were all their ideas. They came up with them and they made them work. And then we started another thing where once a month, instead of doing Bible study, we go out on the campus. We call it Proclaim Night. And we just go and tell people our testimonies. And those nights, believe it or not, I actually stay away. I go and do something else because I want them to have to go and do it to kind of sink or swim on their own. And they love it. They're like, Matt, go away. We're going to go do this ourselves tonight. They like that. So they have really stepped up as far as the leadership is concerned. We've already started working on goals for the next year, planning for the fall, bring what we're going to do when the new students come back, or when the new students come and then when the students come back, how we can be more effective. And like I said, one of the things that I'd wanted to do over the past year, and I didn't know exactly why I was doing this, was to train them to do work and then me to kind of oversee and find more people to disciple so that the work could continue in that way. Well, as we began to do that, and they began to take responsibility, God began to do some things for us. As a matter of fact, I'm still going to have a major role in the ministry next year, but my role is going to change. My role is going to change in this way because God is taking us to a new chapter. This was surprising to us. This was not anything that we were looking for. It's not anything that we were seeking. And it's this. Over the past year, we've had a church approach me several times about being pastor. And I can't remember the exact number of times. I think it was four times, and three times I told them, no. We're doing this. This isn't the right time. One of the times we were in the middle of this trial to end all trials. That's what it felt like. And that felt like a lifeline to us. And Casey and I prayed, and we were like, Lord, we do not want to get out from under this testing one moment earlier than you want us to be out from under it. And So we told them no and then watched the ship sail slowly into the distance and wave. And we thought it was over. As a matter of fact, it looked like it was closed. We thought they had found another candidate or another pastor. And then not long after that, it was still open. And we were approached again and we said, this is four times, Lord. This is an open door. We're going to consider it. I'll be honest with you, one of the reasons I never considered it before was I felt like I would be quitting. And my pride doesn't like to quit. But I finally had to get to the point where I said, Lord, I do not want to, my pride and people possibly thinking that I quit, get in the way of me doing what you actually want me to do. So we began to go down that road, and as we went down that road, we found out that the church, while it's not nearby, was actually enthusiastic about me keeping the university ministry, and there's a university in town that there is a possibility, an open door for me to possibly start a student ministry there as well. So over the past few months, not during the week when we were doing CBF stuff, We had been up to this church to preach 3 or 4 times, and it resulted last Sunday in them voting unanimously to call me as pastor, and I have accepted. It is Greenwood Baptist Church in Greenwood, South Carolina. You might know Greenwood Baptist Church. We have some family connections there. Kara and Jason are in that church, and Jason has been the interim pastor, and we are very excited about this, what the Lord has done. I will be honest with you. There is a work to do there. Wonderful, godly people. The work has been done to set it up to where I think you can go in and rebuild it and make disciples, but they're down. They're a lot smaller than they used to be. But I'll tell you, they worked really hard. They said they wanted a full-time pastor, and they worked really hard to get in a position, a position to do that. And so we will be serving full-time there. And the start date at this point is May 31st. So we're going to be moving eventually, selling our house here, and moving. We'll rent for a while up there and then possibly purchase something there. So we're excited about it. The plan right now is to pastor the church. I'm going to come back on Tuesdays and spend the day at UGA discipling students, leading Bible study on Tuesday. Tuesday nights, I'm going to stay on campus with 2 of the student leaders in their dorm, 2 of the guys, Garrett and Jonathan. I'll stay with them. I'm going to stay with my mom and some on Tuesday nights if she'll let me. And then we'll leave. I'll leave Wednesday morning and then go back and do that. And then Garrett, the young man who's going to the mission field, I'm going to oversee and supervise him, but he is going to get some real hands-on ministry experience there on the campus. And Lord willing, we'll be able to open. There's a close-up picture of the church. Lord willing, we're going to be able to open a branch of CBF at Lander University. And the church is a few miles from the university. They have a shuttle bus where you can go and pick up students. I think that it is a, very good thing. We're excited about it. So pray for us. We're going to need to sell our house eventually. We're going to need to find a place to live. We have lived in this area our entire lives. Other than me being gone for a few years, we've lived here our entire lives. We've never moved out of state. I don't know where the DMV is in South Carolina. I mean, this could be bad in the long run. So just pray for us that we'll be able to get all that worked out. But then also pray for our family and the transition, the kids, that God would bring them along, good friends, and then that they would be able to make contacts as in the school that they end up in. Would really, really appreciate that. After church, I will hang around. I'll be glad to answer any questions about CBF, plans for the next year, the work at Greenwood Baptist. I'm still wrapping my head around it and trying to get going with that. But I would be glad to answer any of those if you have them. Turn, if you would, to Colossians 1. We are going to open the Scripture tonight. I thought it was interesting what Brother Bill said. He was talking about God surprising you. We're going to talk about the perfect prayer tonight from Colossians 1:9. And if you begin to pray the perfect prayer, don't be surprised if God surprises you. If He begins to change your plans, when you have something all mapped out and all laid out. Now, there are times where He will give you something and He leaves you on that for a long time. But this past year for us was a year of seeking God's face unlike any that we've ever had. And there were months to where it was, God, we want to be in the center of Your will. If we're missing something, show us. If we're missing something, show us. And during those desperate times when we were saying, God, why aren't You coming through? We found out a week ago why He wasn't coming through in that way. If He had come through back in October the way that we wanted Him to, then I don't know that we would have been open to this. I don't know that He would have led us down the path or we would have ended up in the place that He had us. So here in Colossians 1, Paul is going to be doing what he does a lot at the beginning of books. He's going to be praying for them. He's going to be sharing his prayer. We're going to contrast the way that he prays with the way that we pray a lot of times. Think about prayer this way. What is it that you need most in your life right now? You don't have to say this out loud. What is it that you need most in your life right now? I would say for the typical American Christian, the first thing that came to mind was, I need money, I need a new house. I need a new job. I need my kids to straighten up and fly right. Yeah, you know, whatever it is, we had all of these material things come to mind. When you say, what is the thing that you need most? Some of you are young people who are marrying age, and you're like, what I need most? I need a man. I need a woman. That's what you're thinking. It's on your mind a lot. You think about it. I want security. Do you ever get to the point where you want security? You don't like being insecure. You want security. What is it that you need the most right now and that is most important to you? Well, when we look at the prayers of Scripture, I think they're illustrative of something. They show us what should be important to us. In other words, if Paul is going to write a prayer in Scripture and take up pages of the inspired Word of God, the things that he is going to pray for are going to be good things. As a matter of fact, this prayer is perfect. It's perfect because it's in the Word of God. It's a model prayer for us. Now, that's not to say that we can't pray for the things that we need, the physical needs. We can't pray for a spouse. We can't pray for our children. All of those things are absolutely fine. But what we find ourselves doing so often is running to those things first and making those our focus instead of what is really, really important for eternity and what's really important in the eyes of God. I believe that Paul's prayer is a model here for us. So let's look at Colossians chapter 1, and let's start in verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it. He's talking about the fact that they had stood fast, so they hadn't given up, that they were standing firm, and that they loved each other. For this day, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I want you to know what God's will is. I want you to know it beyond any doubt, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Let's go to the Lord now and ask Him to help us understand the truth of His Word. Father, I come to You in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we need Your help tonight. I need Your help to convey truth. Lord, I'm just a human being. I can't convey the eternal truth of Your Word in my own power. So Spirit of God, would You come alongside? Would You fill me? Would You teach Your people? Lord, I need Your filling, but they need Your filling as well to be able to hear the Word and to respond. Lord, if our prayers are out of focus, would You use Your Word to focus them tonight? I ask this in Jesus' name and for His glory. Amen. Let's look at some of the things that Paul prayed for here. The first thing that Paul prayed for was he prayed for proper priorities. That's a mouthful. Proper priorities. In other words, he wanted them to pray for and live for the right things. Look at what the Scripture says. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. First priority, to be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Second priority, that they would walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing. Third priority, that they would be fruitful in every good work. Fourth priority, that they would increase in the knowledge of God. He says, these are the things that I want for you. I want you to be filled or to know God's will. Now, God's will is not always what we think. I think a lot of times when we look at God's will and we think about God's will, we think, this is the destination over here and this is where I'm heading. And so what we'll do is we'll start right here and we'll draw a straight line from where we're at over to the destination that we think God wants us to be at. And we say, this is going to be a piece of cake. I'll be there and who knows how, I mean, you know, I can be there in a month, 2 months, a year, you know, if I work really hard, if I work my plan well, if I believe every day is going to be Friday, then I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be up here in no time at all. When it ends up looking like this, and then you go backwards a little bit, then you do a loop, and then you go over here, and then you go up, and you look at it and you get back and you say, wow, that was quite a ride. But the way that we look at God's will isn't always the way that He looks at it. But we can be full of the knowledge of His will. In other words, there are some things that we can know, that we have our goals set on, that we're living for. And whatever valley comes in between that, whatever mountain comes in between that, whatever setback comes in between then and there, if we have the proper priorities, we can know where we're heading and God can help us get there. What were some of these things? He was praying for proper priorities, that they would know God's will, that they would have full wisdom and spiritual understanding, that they would be filled and complete. This word knowledge, or that they would know, it is full and precise knowledge. It is an intimate knowledge. It is not just knowing a little bit about. You can look at it this way. When you were dating or courting your spouse, you knew them, but you did not know them. Am I right? Did you learn things afterwards that you didn't know? All right. Now, I don't think that we intentionally deceive, but even in those times, we're putting our best foot forward, right? Paul is saying, I don't want you to have this superficial kind of dating knowledge of God. I want you to know God's will intimately. I want you to have a full knowledge of it, like a husband and a wife who've been married for 35 years, like they know each other. I want you to know by experience. Then he says, I want you to live pleasing or worthy to the Lord. Do you want this? Do you want to live pleasing and worthy of the Lord? Is that what you want? You know what? You cannot do that until you first know God's will. You've got to know God's will first. What is it that you're going to build your life around? If we're going to live pleasing to the Lord, then we've got to know what His will is. And we've got to be building our life on the right things and looking the right direction and serving Him the way that He has called us to serve. He wanted them to live worthy, pleasing. I remember talking to my children, and maybe you've done this before, but they're about to go somewhere, and I will tell them, remember whose son you are. Have your parents ever done that to you? Remember whose son you are? Remember whose daughter you are? Every day when we go in the world, it's almost as if God looks down from heaven and says, remember whose son you are. Live pleasing, live worthy of me. Now, we've come to learn that we will never live worthy, we'll never live pleasing in our own power. It's not possible. That is futile. It will not work. As we walk in the Spirit, though, we can live pleasing. He said, I want you to live pleasing. I want you to bear fruit in good works. Look there in verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. These good works could be spiritual works. It could be the work of souls. It could be doing good things that bring glory to Christ. He says, but I want you to be fruitful in that. God wants you to be fruitful in the work that you do for Him. He wants you to be fruitful in making disciples. And Paul is praying for this. And I believe because Paul prays for it, it tells me that it's possible. That you can be fruitful in every good work. But here's the thing that we do. As Christians, and American Christians especially, when we go to pray, our prayers usually run to the thing that we need most. Or the thing that we want most. Or the biggest crisis that we're facing. Instead of, Lord, what's Your will? Take me to Your will. Lord, would You help me walk worthy of You today? Lord, would You help me be fruitful in every good work? And then as you start to go through those, then you find out on the other side of that, you can ask God and He begins to reveal how He wants to work in the situation that you're in. How He wants to work in the struggle that you might be facing. Then He says, I want you to grow in knowledge. This is present tense. I want you to keep growing in the knowledge, increasing in the knowledge of God. Don't stay a spiritual baby. Don't stay a spiritual baby. I'll tell you, the thing that excites me about working on the campus is, yes, there are some immature students there, but there are some students who are far beyond their years spiritually. That is exciting. They are growing in knowledge. They want to be mature. It should be our prayer. Now, we look at this and we say, this is astounding. Can this possibly happen? These priorities, I mean, can these really be real in my life? This isn't what I typically pray. This isn't what the typical American prays. Is this possible? I'll tell you, I believe with all my heart it's possible. And it's possible because Paul prayed not just for proper priorities, he prayed from powerful possibilities. I've never done this in my life, this alliteration before. I don't really like it, but it worked well with this sermon, so I went ahead and did it. He prayed for proper priorities, but he prayed from powerful possibilities. This is possible. Why is it possible? Is this too good to be true? Well, notice what he says. He says, I want you to increase in the knowledge of God. But verse 11, I want you to be strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. He's translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. And we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So Paul is telling them, you can be made strong by God's power, down from His glorious strength. Think about that. The power of God. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. The power that parted the Red Sea. The power that brought Goliath down. The power that defeated all of Israel's enemies. The power that Jesus used to raise the dead. The power that Jesus used to heal people. The power that He used to heal the blind. That very same power, the power that was present at Pentecost, when God came down and saved thousands upon thousands of people, the power that has been possible throughout the revivals of our nation's history, that same power is available to us today. I want you to be strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. This word according to means down from. In other words, I want God's power to come down from heaven through you. So if you're thinking about the fact that God's power can come and it can be present in our life and we can be strengthened by it, then all of a sudden it seems possible that we can know His will. It seems possible that we can bear fruit. It seems possible that we can walk worthy of Him. It seems possible that we can continue to grow because we have the power of Almighty God at our back. The wind of heaven is at our back. We serve a risen King, an undefeated King, and an unbeatable King. And He's in us right now by the Holy Spirit. It's made possible not just by God's power, but it's made possible by His work. All right, look at this. It's made possible by His power, but it's made possible by His work. First of all, He qualified us. God qualified us. Look down in verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He says, I have qualified you to be a child of God. I have qualified you to have this inheritance. A few years ago, Casey and I went on a trip to Charleston. And we were out walking in town, and we decided to go get something to eat. And we had been, I think it was a barbecue place, and as we left that, there was this little cubby store on the street, and there were these people there who wanted to talked to us about coming to sit down and listen to a timeshare presentation for an hour. And the whole thing is, if you come listen to this timeshare presentation, we will give you 5 tickets of your choice to do anything in Charleston. This guy was desperate. It was near the end of the night. He was trying to meet his quota. And so he said, you pick the 5, I'll give you the tickets. All you have to do is come for an hour in the morning. And I've never done that before, but I was in a spot to where I didn't really have any spending money. So I said, okay, I would love to go do this, this, and this. We'll do that. So he gave me this piece of paper. He says, okay, fill, you know, sign this. And so I went down through there. And one of the things on there, it said, I earn at least $49,000 a year. And I told him, no, not close. I don't qualify. And I pushed it back. He's like, look, we're at the end of the night. No one's going to care. Can you go ahead and do it? I already told the guy I was a preacher, okay? I already told him I was a pastor. And so I was like, no, I can't. There was no way after I told him I was a pastor that I was going to say that I could. I wouldn't have done it anyway, okay, y'all? I wouldn't have lied about it anyway. So the way that it ended up was he was very mad at me that I wouldn't do that, but I said, I can't. I pushed it back across, and we left, and we didn't get our tickets, and we just walked around and enjoyed the natural beauty of Charleston. But you know what? Every believer in Jesus Christ looks at what Jesus has done, and no believer in Jesus Christ can ever say, I'm not qualified. I'm not worthy. We aren't in ourselves, but we were made worthy by Jesus. He has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So we can begin to pray and experience His power and then know those realities or those possibilities that Paul was talking about. He qualified us. He rescued us. It was like in the Holocaust when they had the people in the concentration camps and the American soldiers came in and rescued them. That's literally what Jesus did. He came in and He rescued us from certain death, from certainly perishing. He came and rescued us. Not only did He rescue us, He redeemed us. He bought us out of slavery. He freed us from the power of sin. He freed us from the power of Satan. And then He forgave us. So let's close with this thought. How are we praying? What is at the top of our prayer? Is it our priorities? The job, the spouse, the money, the comfort, the health, all of those things? Here's the thing we have to realize. Jesus isn't a cosmic genie. Despite what some of the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel preachers will tell you, Jesus is not a cosmic genie that we go to and we ask and He dispenses all the things that we want. He knows better than that. Maybe the approach that we ought to take is the approach of Psalm 37, verse 4. Psalm 37 is one of my favorite psalms, and this is what he says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." And so if we will be people who will delight in God's will and who will delight in God, what we will find is God will begin to change our desires and our delights to where when we pray, He does give us the delights of our heart because they are in line with what He wants. You know, all of these things, you'll notice all of these things aren't necessarily about us. All of these things go back to our purpose for being on this earth. And that purpose for us being on earth is the glory of God. We know God's will. We bear fruit. We increase in knowledge. We have these powerful aspects of God working behind us. All of that's there so that we can live for His glory. Not so that we can live for ourselves. And that's what I take away from Paul's prayer. Paul wasn't the focus of it. And the people and the sure hardships that they were enduring, those weren't the focus. That wasn't it. He had a deeper plan for them. God had a deeper plan for them. So how are we praying? The question is this. I think how we pray shows us the place of Christ in our life. I think how we pray shows us the position of Christ in our life. You know, the whole theme, I believe, of the book of Colossians is that Jesus would be preeminent in all things, above everything else. Not just prominent, not among many things, but above everything. And the way that we pray tells us whether He's prominent or preeminent, or whether we think that He's a genie. Hey, I'm not trying to be sacrilegious in that way, but practically, the way some Christians pray, that's the way that it is. They see God as a genie. They see Jesus as a genie. So let's take Paul's prayer here tonight for these Colossian believers. Let's apply it to our lives. Just start right at the very beginning. Lord, would You start with giving me the proper priorities and then let Him work it out from there. Number one, what is Your will? What do I need to be focused on? What part of the field, the harvest field, do You want me working in? And as we do that, then we can begin to see God work in all areas of our life. And I think we'll find that He takes care of the material. And He takes care of the crises. And He takes care of the other things that we're going through. If you don't mind, heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we're grateful that you speak to us through your word. If I've spoken out of wine, if I've spoken in my flesh, please cause it to come to naught. But that which was true by the Spirit of God, would you drive it home in our hearts? Help us to not just hear, but to do. If there's someone here tonight, and you heard me right there at the end talk about the fact that we were made meet, or that we are qualified to be in the family of God. That just doesn't happen by accident. As a matter of fact, all of humanity is disqualified to be in the family of God. We are the children of Satan, the children of wrath. That's the way that we're born. Destined to an eternity separated from God because of our sin. But Jesus came to rescue us and to forgive us and to bring us into God's family. And He will do that. I would love to take the Bible, Brother Bill would love to take the Bible and show you how you can know beyond any doubt that your sins are forgiven, that you're on your way to heaven, that God has qualified you to be in this family. You can see Brother Bill up front, see me after the service, I'll be glad to help you with that. Christians, if the Lord spoke to you tonight, respond to Him. There in your seat up front, whatever you're comfortable with, but respond to Him. Brother Bill.